how are humans creative? What is creativity? What is having an aha moment? Why does that happen? Why, if you think too much about a problem, do you not solve it? But if you just get time to take a shower or go to the beach, then all of a sudden an aha moment comes.
The voice you just heard belongs to Dr. Stephen DePaola. DePaola is a professor of cognitive science at Simon Fraser University in Surrey. He's also an artist. DePaola has given a lecture on Tuesday at UBC about his unusual work, which involves using artificial intelligence, or AI, to model the human process of artistic abstraction. I'm your host, Perrin Grauer, and on this edition of The Voice Podcast, I sat down with DePaola to hear more about how this practice works. And just a note, we met in public, so occasionally you may hear children playing or music in the background. And because this is a conversation about visual art, you can find examples of DePaola's work on the webpage below this podcast. Here's DePaola on how he employs AI in his work.
If you know Street View, which is a Google, just as a way to talk about some of these deep learning systems. So it's simply trying to figure out, is it a license plate? Because I should blur it out. Is it a house? Is it a face? Because I should blur that out. So it's simply looking at imagery, trying to rationalize what that imagery is, and basically by saying, I know these things. So I use that system. I use a better one called a deep captioning or dense captioning. So this does better than just giving the name license plate. It's actually trying to give a sentence. So now we're into linguistics. So it'll say, there's a man with a jacket. It might say, there's a car on the side of the road. So it's not just doing car. It's actually trying to put words together. So I use that system, and it's quite good. And then I use this deep dream system. So this first system, the deep captioning system, is trying to be your brain and is rationally, which is what your brain is trying to do for you, at every moment trying to say, I know what this is. That's a car. No matter what you give me, I'll do my best guess at making sure the world is understandable. And then the other system is trying to hallucinate towards beauty. And I now put the systems together. So I always start with a straight image. So I have these beautiful photographs of being in Florence. And sure enough, when you start that way, the captioning system will say, well, that's a person, that's a this. But slowly, everything just starts becoming painterly and almost hallucinatory. But I keep this other system. So one system is dying to get hit beauty. Like, it doesn't care if it has to hallucinate or change the world. The other system that I use at the same time where I'm captioning these things is getting more and more confused about what it's looking at. But it's doggedly trying. And it's just so desperately trying to figure out what, in a piece that I do, these two people who are dancing, as I go more painterly and hallucinatory with them, they actually, at times if they get close, become one swirly dancer, and then sometimes they separate. It's very beautiful to watch, but I leave on this rational system that's just dying to say, I know what this is. And you're going, you can't know what this is. We're in such drug land now. But it still tries. And I like the folly of this rational system being in Alice in Wonderland and still trying to do its job.
But for DePaola, running an AI doesn't amount to a complete erasure of himself. Instead, he sees his work as part of a tradition of artists working with technology to produce sometimes surprising results.
I also love that much more mad scientist experimental side of computers and art, and in a way the AI gives me more of it. And again, I think the other thing is I'm just somewhat obsessed with making an algorithm be creative on its own. By the way, it's one of my most favorite things, because all of us, including you, have to do crap in everyday life when we don't want to. And for me, because I was in Silicon Valley or at or any meeting that I'm at, I occasionally smile when people aren't noticing in a funny way. And it's because I remember that part of me is at home, which is my computer algorithm, running. So every night I get to go home and say, what do we do today?
DePaola also teaches ethics at SFU, and he says people often ask him whether AI might be dangerous. As it turned out, that was a question I'd wanted to ask him too.
Weirdly, I don't think it's as bad as people make it out to be. Mm-hmm. And I do think some of it is worse than people make it out to be. My favorite part of it is people are freaking out because there's data, the AI is using data on us. The data has bias in it. There's bias in the data. It's like, of course it's in there. This is deep learning. Now, I always like to say the easiest way to understand deep learning is if you give it a picture of a telephone pole as many pictures as you can and a picture of a tree. And you keep trying to explain, this is a tree, this is a telephone pole, this is a tree. Eventually, it kind of figures it out. And then you give it a new picture of either a tree or a telephone pole, and it can figure it out. So it's categorizing space, and now we're just doing it in bigger ways. So is this really bad about the bias? No, it's terrible. Guess what? It has always existed.
In other words, De Paula says, a creation can only ever be as good as its creator.
It's kind of a weird way of looking at it, but I actually think we assumed it wouldn't be this way, that some version of the future, robots would be fair. And now that they're not, we're starting to freak out. I'm like, okay, let's fix it. For one time in the 20,000-year history of modern humans, we're going to be fair. That's fine. You know, that would be wonderful if we actually do that.
De Paula seems to have a view of humanity that's at once a little cynical and optimistic. But we'll end on De Paula explaining why he thinks these questions that AI seems to be forcing people to consider actually present a welcome opportunity for humanity to take a good, long look in the mirror.
Some people, when I get into the ethics stuff, they want to know my answer, and I say the same thing, which is, well, of course it's going to be evil and terrible because humans are evil and terrible. So you go, how do we get it not to be evil and terrible? It's like, well, make humans not evil and terrible. Like, how would a system created by evil and terrible people not be evil and terrible itself? Computers will mimic quite well. So if we as a world decided what's fair, what's second to fair, just everything about, okay, let's talk about freedom, let's talk about this. These are really tough issues that we just avoid all day long. So how would we possibly program them in? So the reason you want to scare people is you want people, young people, to go to school to think about philosophical issues about what's right and wrong. You know, now that we're thinking, oh my God, a machine has moral issues, we better stop and think about every level of what morality humans expect. I find this is a good thing because we've avoided this forever. So I'm actually hopeful. I'm actually quite excited.
De Paula will be lecturing on his latest work through the Emerging Media Lab on UBC campus at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, February 27th. You can find all the details by searching his name at ubc.ca, or you can see more of his work at DePaola, that's DIPAOLA.org. I'm Perrin Grauer for the Langara Voice Podcast.